Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday morning discussion group right here at Wings Christian Fellowship, where we just love to get together every Sunday morning and talk about our Lord and Savior. Go ahead.
Verse 5. I was just reminding what verse we was in.
Seventh
chapter, verse 5.
We are in Matthew chapter 7, verse 5.
Right.
Yes.
And it talks about me right immediately.
It talks about you?
Yeah, it says hypocrite, so yeah.
I'm the most important person in this room today. Go ahead. Do you want to start reading at verse 5? Or do you want to read down a little? Or do you want to just go ahead and start talking?
Well, we can go slow because we probably won't get too far anyway.
Okay, you go ahead.
You guys care if I read?
Well, go on. Yeah.
Hypocrite. Get rid of the board. Oh my Lord. Then you can see to help your brother. Don't give holy things to depraved men. Don't give pearls to the swine. They will trample the pearls and turn and attack you. Probably ought to stop there. First of all, I'll identify with the hypocrite. I've tried to change people in my life, and I fall flat on my face because I finally realized the Holy Spirit convicted me and says, that's not your job. Mm-hmm. Now, I asked a question last night when we was in men, so I'll ask today, is there anyone that actually believe without the prompting of the Holy Ghost, we have the ability to change anyone?
Can't even change ourselves most of the time.
Right. Well, I kind of make that a joke and say, heck, I've seen the time I couldn't change my pants. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's a confession, but anyway. But the fact is, I think we don't concentrate enough on how much we need the Holy Spirit to continue to change us from here a little, there a little. From the time that we can't, like my brother, I said this last week, he's having a hard time with the commandments, and I quoted him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. In these two, all the others exist." And he goes, "I guess I'm not having trouble with the Ten Commandments, with the commandments." He lost the ten, but he still said, "I guess I'm not having trouble with the commandments." Because he realized the word says in these two. And I think that's exactly what Jesus came for. To take that law that had never made man holy because they couldn't live it. None of us could. And bring it back to an area that we're in Christ Jesus, we are complete. And we have hope everlasting. And we never lose it.
What is the love? Oscar, if you've got it there, I can get it too. What is the, is it agape love?
That's what it is.
The law is in these two. And they're both love. You will love the Lord thy God. And you will love your neighbor as yourself. That, in that agape love, that is the whole law. And
I was going to ask you, don't you think in the agape love, we quit looking for excuses not to fulfill that word? I mean, come on. A lot of people, they'll say, "I'm human," you know. But I want to tell you something. We've been called out of human into oneness with Christ. Spirit. We sometimes forget the spirit is actually the life of everything. And the law is the death, ain't it? Isn't that what it says?
Yeah. He says free from the law of sin and death.
Mm-hmm.
And the handwriting ordinances that were against us, he took them and hung them to the tree.
Yeah.
And when something was hung on a tree, it was considered to be a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was in the book of Ezekiel where the Lord began to deal with me one time about, I'm not going to preach a sermon to you, but he began to deal with me about the thing that was a curse that went throughout the whole earth. There was a scroll, which was a curse that went throughout the whole earth. And he began to tell what some of them was, and they were the things that were in the law. And it was a curse not because it wasn't righteous, it was a curse because we couldn't fulfill it. You know, because the law is wonderful if you can fulfill it, but we can't fulfill it because we fall short. And what you said originally about the hypocrite, Clyde, I'll say this and I'll be quiet. When you're operating in the nature of Adam, Adam's name literally means, I'm going to read you the definition of it. This is a strong definition of it. Adam, it means a human being, human, hewed down being, okay, mm-hmm. an individual, a species, mankind. It means another. He'll not do what? Give his glory to what?
Another.
It means hypocrite, common sort, man of low degree, a low degree person. Well, any time that we find ourselves doing like what that says in Matthew, we're operating in the realm of Adam, mm-hmm. not in the realm of Christ, you know. And we do go in and out of that realm some yet. Thank God that we recognize now that we're doing that, you know, and, you know, just like what you said about the Lord, you know, convicting you about things. Because sometimes we, you know, we do find ourselves slipping over into that Adam nature. And we're supposed to consider ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. But anyway, but I think we have to come to realize that that's what that is. That's that Adam nature when it rises up, that it would judge other people. And we all tend to do that. And if we're honest, we do that. One other thing. Cast your pearls before swine. How do you get pearls? You put something irritating into a clam or whatever it is, and because that's irritating that clam, it starts secreting that pearl, and it keeps rolling it around, rolling it around, rolling it around until it's not irritating anymore. And then, so if he's saying don't cast your pearls before swine, don't you think that maybe he's telling us don't always tell everybody the beauty of the things that you've went through and what God made it into, unless God's telling you to do that, you know. Because what they'll just do a lot of times is go and make fun of you and laugh at you because you're telling them about the mighty things of God. But when God's telling you to share, you know, remember what happened to Joseph in the Old Testament when he had his wonderful dream, which came to pass. What happened when he shared it with his brothers? Wasn't good.
The trap was set.
Wasn't good. He was casting his pearls before swine. Mm-hmm. But God was going to turn around and show us that even when you do that,
he's still
what they meant for evil, God meant for good, you know, all the way down the line there. So, you know, it's kind of one of them situations where we don't want to cast our pearl before swine. In other words, sometimes you can tell people too much. Tell them what they're able to handle, you know.
You know, I read this in the Passion Bible, and I haven't really picked that up much. But just this one thing, I was sitting yesterday, and I was just thinking about somebody's form, and I started reading a few things. And it said here, who would hang earrings on a dog's ear or throw pearls in front of wild pigs? Mm-hmm. They'll only trample them under their feet and then turn around and tear you to pieces. Mm-hmm. They'll just sit there and make fun of you, and just like Oscar said.
You know what I was thinking about too? One time they roasted Pete Rose. And Joe Morgan told Pete Rose something about him doing something was like putting earrings on a hog.
Oh.
You know, I mean, he was really, you know how they go back and forth when they roast each other. But he got on Pete Rose, he said something about, were you doing this or doing that? And he said, that's like hanging earrings on a hog.
You must have read the Bible.
It's like Kiss Your Pearls with Horse Wine. That really tickled me when I heard him say that. I mean, they were doing it in fun because they were going back and forth with each other, you know, kind of stuff. Because they were roasting him at some kind of dinner, and I happened to see it. Yeah. But you know what? You have to choose your words wisely. And sometimes we tell too much, and sometimes we don't tell enough. You know, sometimes we're quiet when we should speak, and sometimes we speak when we should be quiet. So we need to ask God to balance us out in that situation. He definitely has to be the one to do it.
Debbie, I can see your brain going.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
It's just verse number 5, talking about being a hypocrite and getting rid of what's in your own sphere before judging somebody else's. I've had several times when the Lord checked me on, you know, being irritated with somebody, and it's like, maybe I'm doing the same thing, only worse. I don't want people to judge me, so give me some mercy, and
I will give you some.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It's something that kind of runs a thread through this whole thing, is this whole idea of one spirit. When he hung on the cross, he took away our sins.
Right.
How many sins?
All of them.
He took away sins of the whole world. And so if he's not judging with anything except mercy, then we shouldn't judge with anything except mercy. And just like you were saying, Oscar, sometimes we see things in others, but you don't have to point them out. God, if God gives you that sight, it is so that you will go to this one spirit and pray, you know. And it all goes back to what is your heart telling you? And if your heart is telling you, hang on high, Lord, then you are of a wrong spirit.
Well, the Lord's not telling them that.
No, go ahead.
That's what they need to know.
Yeah.
I got one. Mike was smiling, so he knew where I was going. In Proverbs, the 15th chapter, this is coming out of the Living Bible, the 28th verse, it says, a good man thinks before he speaks. The evil man pours out his evil words without a thought. I think that God's intent is that we have pause in our speech, as well as in our walk. That when we speak words of life, and he comes, and God will add and give us compassion as we speak to show them that they're restored. Not that they have to go through a battle, but they're already restored. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for all of us. And, you know, that's really the hope, you know, the one that lives within us.
In Christ.
You know, I've shared before about the guy that I used to work with at another job, where, you know, he was able to push all the buttons in me, you know. He could push a button. And he could get me really worked up, you know, where I'd really get mad. But I didn't act on the madness, you know. I never did, you know, go over the edge or nothing. I felt like punching him out a bunch of different times. But I never did do it. And, you know, I would pray, because I was a young Christian then, a real young Christian. I'd pray and I'd say, oh God, change Bill, you know. He never changed Bill. Bill stayed the same all the years I worked with him. But you know what? He changed me. He started removing the buttons where he couldn't push the buttons after a while, you know. And what God was really doing was working on me, not on Bill, you know. And a lot of times when we're praying for other people, what'll actually end up happening is God will turn around and work on us, because we're the one, he's actually placed that person in your life, I believe, to work on you, you know. And
so you can see when reality breaks forth, whether it's real or not.
Right. And you and the thing about it is anytime that you think you've come a little ways in the Lord, guess what? He might just let you know you ain't come as far as you think.
Right.
Right. Quite there yet, buddy.
You were just like that clam.
Yeah.
And Bill was that little irritation down in your heart.
He was. He
and
was.
God started releasing that balm, that oil.
And then the time when I, you know, after I dealt with Bill, you know, so what did the Lord do? He put me with my brother. Me and my brother didn't have a real good situation. We fought a lot when we was kids, because he tried to pick on me, and I wasn't going to have it, you know. And he was bigger and stronger because he was 3 years older than me, you know, when I was little. But I wouldn't give in to him at all. But it was funny to him. He wasn't trying to hurt me or anything, but he was trying to just irritate me, be mean to me, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
Well,
I kind of grew up just like you, and I think he was probably actually trying to make a man out of you.
Well,
that he wasn't quite that himself.
Yeah.
That's
well,
a hard teacher.
I will tell you this, and who did I end up working with for 20 years? Somebody that I at least would ever wanted to work with. You know? And, you know, that's the way those things go. God has a tendency to bring you back around full circle in the same situation if he's not done, you know, working on you in certain things, you know. And so it's better to try to cooperate with the Lord when he's doing it, you know, than having to go through it again and again and again. Brother, I used to talk about taking the test, you know. And say, you want to keep taking the test till you pass the test. Mark had one of the best teachers that I ever seen in school. When he was in, went to Coatdale. Well, Coatdale one time was kind of a preparatory type school. And when he went there, this one teacher would give them a pre-test in the middle of the week. And the real test was on Friday. And the pre-test wasn't to see how good you did. The pre-test was to show you what you didn't know. And then you already knew the other stuff, so what did you need to study? The stuff you didn't know. You know, and Mark just started really doing really good after that. But that was a teaching lesson, you know. And you know, God kind of does the same thing with us sometimes. He gets us in situations to where we think we know a bunch of stuff, and then all of a sudden we get into a situation where, geez, I didn't know that was still in my life, or I didn't know I still would react like that, or whatever. And you know what? Then, I mean, it happens, you know.
Well, it boils down to one thing. When you were talking before about love thy neighbor as thyself, you can't do that unless you love yourself.
You do it to the amount you love yourself.
That's right. And that's what the Lord has to do. He has to teach us how to love ourselves first before we can move on to the next. It's a growth thing.
Yep.
Well, I don't think you can love yourself until you know who you are, until you know your identity.
That's right. Who's your real self?
Yes. Yeah.
And we
because
don't know that.
Before then, you know, we have a lot of self-loathing.
Well, and that goes right back to what Oscar just said. You think you got this thing out of your life, and then all of a sudden you think, oh, I got it all, and then here it is again.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think so.
I was going to say that actually shows because immaturity. But I believe God works through the immaturity, because what we find out in the immaturity, we find out how merciful God is. We find out that he forgives us when we slip and fall. And what he does, he puts his hand underneath of us before we fall, so we don't get hurt so much. And we slowly get elevated again, and we realize it's not us raising us. It's him.
You know what you said about immaturity, Clyde. Can you actually, in the natural, point to a certain day when you became a man? Usually you can't, because it's a process that keeps going on and on and on. You become more of a man as you learn what a man really is, you know. And when you realize that the process God's got us in, he wants us to come to the unity of the faith, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And the only way we're going to come to that is when we see him in all things and see him in every situation and every circumstance and in every person we come in contact with. You know, then we won't be judgmental of it.
I was asked that not too long ago by my nephew. Mm-hmm. He said, when do you actually think you grew up? I said, I can tell you it's 42 years ago when my mom died in my arms. I said, I didn't panic. I didn't worry about it. I looked at God and I go like this, your will's being done. And it has been done. And let all of us that remain be able to accept that will. I mean, 7 years later, my brother dies and I get accused from guys down at work. Well, you let your brother die. And I'm thinking, you have no idea who's in control of life. If you think that, or, well, you know, you helped them die or you let them die and stuff like that. And I go like this, listen, our days come and go, but we have not the power of life over another individual. And I'm so glad we don't, because the one that has the power over that individual is the one that gave life. And he's the only one that can take it. So, I mean, you know, we grow up in spurts. And, you know, just because you wear a big shoe or something like that, or, you know, you're whatever you are, guess what? It's only by the grace of God we're here every day, because he's here every day.
Well, you know, when you think about it, how many people can say, you know, when you're, let's say you're 20, 25 when you have a kid, you know, and you do the things that you feel like you should do in raising that other person, you know. Well, I got news for you. When you get about 45 or 55 or 65, you look back and you think, man, I made a mess of that in that area, that area. And people will say, how come? Jennifer said to me different times, said to her kids, Grandpa ain't the guy that I knew when I was growing up. Because I was a lot harder on her than I would be on them, see? Well, that's because I progressed in the natural. I got to the point where I realized every time they did something, I didn't have to spank them if they were bad or something.
That wasn't your job no more.
Well, yeah, and the thing about it was, is one of the most difficult grandsons I had at that point was Josh. You know, Josh was kind of strong will. I mean, you know, I had no problem with him. Because I would just, if we were playing or something and he was acting up, I'd say, okay, the game's over, we're going in the house. And we just go in the house and we wouldn't play no more. Well, then he wanted to still play, see? Well, he learned after a while, when Grandpa says it's over with, I never spanked him one time, never hollered at him or anything. And we'd be out and he'd be acting up. And Jennifer'd say to me, get him, Dad. I'd say, Josh, come up here and sit down, buddy. He'd climb right up here and sit down. But I made him behave, but I didn't make him behave by being mean to him. You know what I mean? And I had progressed a long way from there, because I used to spank my kids. I mean, if they had to behave, or I would get on them, you know, not spank them. And, you know, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't spank your kids, because, well, Scripture tells you, spare the rod and spoil the child, you know, basically. And that's not the thing, you should beat them up all the time either, you know. But I actually was too strong, too stern with my kids when they were little. And I realize that now, you know, but I didn't realize it at that point, you know. But that's the thing about progressing, you know, as we progress in the Lord. How many times, you know, have you done something and had somebody, you know, and said something or done something with somebody else and felt like the Lord a little bit later on spoke to you and said, I didn't do that to you. And sometimes I'd almost rather have hit me over the head with a stick than say that to me. Because that just breaks your heart, because then you realize, oh man, you know, I shouldn't have reacted that way, or I shouldn't have said that, or shouldn't have done that, you know. But it's a process, and until we, what did David say? He would only be satisfied when he did what? when I awake in thy likeness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And buddy, until we come to the full revelation, the full awakening in his likeness, then we're gonna fall a little short of it, you know, most of the time. But the thing is he's not condemning us in the process, you know.
And I still feel that he plays the bigger part of the role in the bringing us to that.
Oh yeah,
I know we have a part to play.
No, he's always the one that brings
yes.
you to it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I mean, don't even be hard on yourself when you see that you haven't. You know, because it's the Lord's work. He will perfect us. You see, because exactly as you said, we see things, but we know we can't fix it, you know? And that's God's job. He will fix it. He will bring us to the fullness of the stature. So.
Yeah. Well, what we have to learn to do is cooperate when he's bringing us. Because if we don't, we're going to get the test again and again and again until we do cooperate.
Around that mountain again and again and again.
Yeah.
Okay, Buddy and Brenda, you're being kind of quiet this morning. I know you have the wisdom.
What does the Amplified Bible say about those scriptures that we just
yeah.
read?
What do you want, from 5 to...
Well, we only read two verses,
five
I think.
And six, I think.
Yeah, 5 and 6, yeah.
It says, you hypocrite, first get the beam of timber out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the tiny particle out of your brother's eye. Do not give that which is holy, the sacred thing, to the dogs. Do not throw your pearls before the hogs, lest they trample upon them with their feet and turn and tear you.
When I was reading on, it says on 7th verse, ask and you will be given what you ask.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually what we need to do. How do we accomplish that? How do we get to that? It says, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, anyone who seeks finds. If only you will knock, the door will open. Then it goes and talks about the children. I mean, this is about adults and children. If a child asks his father for a loaf of bread, will he be given a stone instead? If he asks for a fish, will he be given a poisonous snake? Of course not. And if you hard-heartedly, sinful men who know how to give good gifts to your children, won't your Father in heaven even more certainly give good gifts to those who asked him for them? He's shown us exactly the pattern that we should be by asking who we need to ask, the creator of heaven and earth, that this is the way we're going to get stuff, asking him. But I should tell you, the examples he gives should make us shun the other thing and seek him. Because I mean, you know, he's right. I was sitting here thinking, when I worked at Sun Chemical, one time I was cutting open a bag, and we had glasses about like this, but we had side protectors so nothing would get in your eye. Well, I opened it up with a utility knife so forceful that the little crystals flew over my glasses and got in my eyes. And thank God I knew how to feel where I needed to go to an eye wash station. And right at that eye wash station, there was a phone. And I got my eyes underneath there. And I'm dialing. I know how the numbers work on the dial. And I called the office. I said, hey, this is Clyde. I'm out at the eye wash. I need you to come out here. I can't see anything. And I'm having a hard time just with the water in my eyes. You know, it's just like you had to hold them open, but you couldn't hold them open and keep the eye wash going. It's one of those things. They didn't have an automatic, you push it to come on. But I'm not kidding you. I thought, God, am I going to see again? And it's just momentarily. But at one time, that guy turned around and he came out there. He washed my eyes. He scrubbed my eyes. I got crystals in my eyes. Crystals that are marked like this. Poison. Poison. And I'm going like this. Lord, I'm counting on you. I feel that hurt, but I go like this. I'd still trust you. But the whole thing was, I mean, I went a couple hours. I don't think I even told her that. Where they took me off the floor and did different type of eye washes on me and stuff like that. Because when they went to scrub, I think they might have scarred one of my eyes or something like that. You know, then they want to see behind it and all this other stuff. But God is so merciful. I mean, my mom, when she passed, I'm pretty sure she had lost her vision already due to sugar. But you know what? I mean, it's just, I believe that God's an on-time God. He'll deal with us in every situation. And I keep on getting the thing in my head says, who do you trust? Who do you depend upon? Who are you going to give glory to? That happens to be the same and only the one that created heaven and earth. That don't change. And I think that as we take the beam out of our own eye, I think we can look clear and see God in the presence of the whole thing and know that I didn't earn this. I'm not worthy of this. But God, you're worthy of all praise. And start praising him, calling those things that aren't as though they are. I've had that happen a lot in my life. So if I say it a lot, I just need to know. That's just a portion of how I've gotten through things. Because I have trusted. And by the way, I listened this morning, and I was talking to Debbie about it. Does everyone in here believe that you are what you practice? I mean, I'm not kidding you. We were kidding a while ago, or at least I was. Won't we thank that devil for Jesus? Because everybody seems to me, a lot of people give the devil all the credit. As far as I'm concerned, I don't need to give the loser the credit. I need to give the credit to the victor. And then, of course, I hear victory's been won.
Where it says there in 7:7, Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, and it shall be opened unto you. Wow. Secrets get opened unto you. But I looked at that word ask, and it says, and I know Oscar made reference to this just last week, to ask. Oh, this isn't saying to ask in order to find. It was something like that. But I can't find it. Hang on, I'm backing up. I'm backing up. Ask, desire, beg, require, crave, call for. And then it says, compare that to, there was another one that says, to inquire, you know, another very similar word, and this is from that word. And it was a very business-like asking. God doesn't want us just to stand afar off and inquire intellectually. He wants us to beg. He wants our life to depend on.
The Amplified says, Keep on asking.
Yeah, keep on asking.
And it will be given to you.
Yes.
Keep on seeking.
Yes.
Reverently. Mm-hmm. And the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives. And he who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be open. He said, and then he goes on talking about what man is there that wouldn't give bread, you know, to a child, mm-hmm. his child. When is it?
Remember the story of the woman who went to the unjust judge?
Yeah.
And what he said? He said, unless she just keeps coming back and keeps coming back.
Yes.
I'm paraphrasing that.
Yeah.
Unless she just keeps coming back, I'm going to grant her what she wants because she's going to keep coming.
Yes.
Yeah. And that goes right along with what the Amplified says, ask and keep on asking, seek, keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, you know. And, you know, but I think the thing about it is if we're asking something that, well, Mother told me one time, and she had been praying and in the back room. She used to go in the back room and pray a lot when I was a kid. She'd been back there praying, and she said that she said she asked God, show me your perfect will for my life, you know. Mm-hmm. And she said, when he showed it to me, it like to kill me. she said. What it was is he showed her out, like pouring out God's word, you know, and she took that to mean that God was telling her to go out and preach the word. Well, she had four little kids, you know what I mean? And she basically was thinking, I can't do that, you know, and she said it really, like, I guess heaped condemnation on her or whatever, and she probably heaped it on herself, really, what happened. And Mother's name, Irene, means messenger of peace, mm. you know.
She lived that.
And she did. Mm. And but see, she took that. That's the one thing that I've learned over the years. Don't try to interpret God's word. Let him unfold it. If you try to interpret it when he gives you a word, you might blow it completely out of the water and be nowhere near what he's telling you to do.
We've known that,
you know,
to happen.
Yeah, and then a lot of times you end up making a mess of something, you know, because you jumped out and tried to do something that maybe he wasn't calling you to do it, and even if he was calling you to do it, it wasn't the time for it. You know what I mean, right then. He might have showed it to you. And she says, and here's what the wisdom that she gave me out of that. She says, be careful what you ask for, because he might give it to you. And I thought, okay.
Well,
and definitely in her case, that, you know, because it really bothered her, because she felt like, you know, she couldn't fulfill what God was telling her to do, you know.
That's why I was sitting here thinking, you know, it's keep ask, you know, seek and knock. You know, a lot of times we're afraid to see what's on the other side of the door.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We want it so bad, and we ask and ask and ask, and then when it opens, we go, oh,
no thanks.
That ain't what I thought it was going to be. Shut that sucker right now.
It reminds me of a story that Clyde told about his mom, because him and his brother were little, and she had to support him. And she was working somewhere, I think, and stopped at Jergens every day, or every week
from
at least.
From Elmwood, walked down Spring Grove. Yeah.
Looking for a job. And eventually, one of the bosses said, give that lady a job. She's persistent.
Right, right.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I wanted to read this in the Passion. Ask, and the gift is yours. You have to remember it's a gift. Seek, and you'll discover. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For every persistent one will get what he asks for. Mm-hmm. And every persistent seeker will discover what he longs for.
Wow.
And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. How wonderful. Mm-hmm. I love it when the word that's in my heart is the same word that you speak.
It reminds me when I was working. You can relate to this, because remember I said I want to be a manager, and then when I became a manager I realized you stink.
Yes.
You're terrible. You're terrible at this. Get me out of this.
Mike did not know how to manage. He only knew how to do it. If someone came to him, he would allow them to do anything they wanted and he would fill in the slack. So he was, he just didn't have that skill yet, you know. But people walked all over him when he was a manager. I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
You did, and it's fine. Reality is what it is. I mean, I realized it real fast. I can remember sitting in the other room and listening to one of my salespersons trying to sell something, and I'm going, that's not right. You know, that's not the way you do that. And I'd get up and walk out and jump right in the middle of it, which is the worst thing I could do.
Yeah. One time, I was trying to get Josh some help, and I was filling out all this paperwork. And they sent me a document, and they wanted me to tell about jobs he had and how much money he made, and it's like I sat there just, how am I supposed to gather this information? Well, after reading through it a few times, it's like that's not even what they're asking for. It was so simple, and I was overlooking the fact that it was so simple that I just needed to do one specific thing. And a lot of times I think we misinterpret what the Lord is trying to do. And the answer's in front of us the whole time.
Yes.
I've heard her on the phone talking to different people, had no idea who she was talking to. And she would come to this end. Now, what is it that you exactly want? She would make them be precise.
Yeah.
And when they were precise, she's got an ear to hear the precise. And they would, if there was another question, she didn't wait for them. Was that it? No, she said, I have one more question. And what she was really good at was the fact that she would ask them their name, because you got to have something to go with the answer. Mm-hmm. It's important that you know who gave you that information.
Right.
Because if it doesn't go back to that person, you talk to another one. And I mean, I messed up one time and was wanting to change insurances. This is a couple years ago. And I talked to this one guy, and he found out about a month later after I canceled it. He called me up and said, hey, did something happen to that policy? Now, he knew that he had talked to me, and I recognized his voice because I really enjoyed talking to this guy. I said, well, I've talked to you before. No, this is our first time. I go, well, that's the first time you've lied to me. He got real quiet. I said, this is Mr. Morgan. I said, we've talked. I can tell you about your wife and kids. That's why you get more information when you ask. It kind of takes care of it. It's almost like you're getting honey on the thing. You're getting the part to where it will touch their innermost being. And I said that, and he goes, yes, we have talked. I knew, because when his conversation talked to me before, I felt like I was talking to more than a brother. Like I was talking to the Lord. And I thought, oh man, this is clear. And I said, do you want to know what happened? He goes, yeah. I said, okay, until they lied to me. He said, they what? I said, they lied to me. And he said, well, he said, I'm sorry that happened. And he didn't want to. I think he knew his boundaries was not to ask who did that, because he didn't, and I wasn't willing, and I go, okay, we'll leave it alone, because I was out of it already. But when I heard his voice, I knew I could talk to him. But I think that's the key. My sheep know my voice, and none other will they follow. Too many people have heard the voice of the Lord, heard something that sounded better. Well, that might as well say that was Satan talking to you. That's what you heard. Because there's never anything better than God Himself. I mean, I would love to see every one of us at one time out there, Oscar, in the auditorium, get slayed in the Holy Spirit. I would love that. Other people might go, I'm not going to do that. That's a good thing. I think when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you have here's what you get a choice of. Fall now or fall in a few seconds there. Because it's so great. It's so great. And I got to do that when I was 4 years old because my dad hadn't gone yet. And just they had a prayer meet. I walked in there. Chuck said, well, they don't want you in there. I said, I'm going in. That sounds great. And I walked in, and before I got right in the middle of the room, I was down on my face and hands because no standing in this room, no standing in the presence of God. You know, it was like, and I didn't hear it, but it was like Moses. And he said, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. Because where God is, there is holy. There's a reverence in the sanctuary. We used to do that man's prayer meeting. I mean, walk in there. I don't know if we've seen many men standing at times. There were a lot of them sitting down on the floor.
I believe we don't, are you talking about being slain in the spirit? But I believe we don't speak for myself. Don't always take enough time to spend with God and come into His presence. And you never come into His presence that you're going to leave the same. It's changed, He deepens your relationship, He opens, like He's saying, unfolds to you. And I really believe God desires us to do this. We don't do it ever. I would love to, because you get busy with the things of the day. And I believe it would be so much more better in my relationship, in my the presentation of Christ in me to others, if he did this. And I don't think we do it enough. I have found the times when we've done it, and then we come together with the bodies. Can you imagine all of us doing that and then coming together and the body as one? My goodness, what?
I love so much of what you said. It's profound.
Yeah,
it really is. Sometimes it's just something about we don't take the time to come into His presence. Now we will let Him into our presence, and He will be the surrounding. But when He is the primary and you are just worshiping Him, that's different. And you know, and He tells you secret things. And that's when sometimes you can share them. Sometimes you can't, when that lover of your soul. It's all in that relationship.
I think since we get the ideal or the reality, sir, that be ye holy for I am holy. We got to get past be holy, but because he said it. He actually proclaimed it in us. Be ye holy for I am holy. I mean, we can do that in worship. And once we get lost in that, we won't worry about where the time went. And God can make, and I've seen it happen, time staying still. My brother told me that story. He was running late for a doctor's appointment, seen some lady along the road. She needed gas. She was carrying a can. He stopped. He felt the Lord told him. He said, stop. He took her, got gas, turned around, went back, had to go beyond her car, dropped her off, got her gas. He got to the doctor's office. I was there 10 minutes early.
Yeah.
Only God can do that.
Yes.
And he said, and I thought it was going to be 20 minutes late. He said, God showed me that time is in His hand. It's a deterrent or an adjutant to us, but to God, it's Him. He's the time.
Trying to decide if I should tell you this. My mother her and Uncle Wiley used to go places when I, well, when I was a kid, they'd go around to all these different churches and stuff, you know, where the, there was a move of the Holy Spirit. And she said, you know, that they used to go to this one, I think the guy's name was Brother Arnold, they called him or something like that. And she said they'd go to his church, and she said a lot of times, she said, you know, he'd call people up and want to pray for everybody. And he said, Mother said, you know, a lot of them would get slain in the spirit, you know. And Mother said, you know, different times when she went up there, she said she got, you know, slain in the spirit. And she said, and then one time it dawned on her, what was I learning by that? What was I getting? What was that situation doing for me? She said. And then she said she felt like, and this, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is the only thing that happens when you're slain in the spirit, so to speak. But she said she came to the realization that a lot of times when people get slain in the spirit, it's because they're rebellious and God knocks them down. and that's what she said. And she, that's something a little different than, you know, what we normally think. But I believe if God puts you down in the spirit, then you're going to learn something from
yes.
that.
Yes.
The times that I've had where I felt like, you know, I was in that kind of a situation, I never have had God literally knock me down or anything. But I mean, I've had times when I felt like I was actually prophesied to that I was supposed to get along with the Lord. And I went and did that. And my God, I started praising him. I was on the bed. I couldn't move. You know, I couldn't get up. You know, I laid on the bed. I couldn't have moved if my life depended on it, I don't think. And, you know, he that was when I heard that heavenly host praising God, and I was praising God. And he actually opened up, and I felt like he spoke to my spirit, and he said, rise and kill the fox. And I didn't know what he was talking about. I mean, I had no idea. And see, that's when God speaks to you a lot of times. If you don't know what he's saying to you, what it means, don't try to figure it out. Ask him. Mm-hmm. Lord, and there you go. Ask, keep on asking, and keep on asking until he feels like it's time to tell you what he's saying. And, you know, I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea. I was still a fairly young Christian when that happened. And what ended up happening is about a week or two later, Brother Eddie preached a sermon about the little foxes that spoil the vine. Mm-hmm. See? Well, the minute Brother Eddie started preaching that, I thought, oh God, there it is. You're telling me exactly what you know what it was, you know. and that's the thing. See, I think a lot of Christians jump out and try to figure it out. And when you try to figure it out, you ain't gonna figure it out. You know what I mean? Not until God gives you the revelation of whatever He even spoke to you. And sometimes you'll know exactly what God wants you to do, but a big part of the time, you're not going to know. And there is times when you have a meeting with the Lord, like John had, and, you know, he said he became undone. He fell down like one dead, basically, is what he was saying. And the Spirit had to even lift him up because he was so undone, you know. Well, a lot of times, you know, we have to get undone in God, you know, but I thought, found that interesting, because, you know, Mother said, you know, she said, I come to the realization that a lot of times when they were laying hands on me and I was falling out in the spirit and I'm laying there, she said, God didn't speak to me. He didn't tell me anything, you know. And she says, and I began to wonder, well, Lord, what are you doing? You know, what is this all about? And she said she felt like, but the Lord let her know that it's not always to give you a revelation of God or even of His power. But she said, sometimes a lot of people who get knocked down in the spirit is because they're rebellious. And she said, God actually knocks you down, so to speak. So, I mean, you know, but I tell you, sometimes when you talk, well, like with her, you know, she's been a Christian for a long time, you know, and she had a lot of wisdom and a lot of things, and I when I talked to her, she'd tell me some of the stuff that happened, you know, and stuff, and they went around to all the, and she actually took me to a William Branham meeting, and William Branham, they were people,
big guy,
raised from the dead and all that kind of stuff, you know, and I was having those seizures at that time, and she said she didn't feel like the Lord wanted her to take me forward, you know. And I mean, of all places that you take a kid if he's got a problem, most parents would hightail it right up to the front of the church, you know what I mean, thinking, you know, I got to get my kid up there. She said, I didn't feel that. But what ended up happening, she was in the back room praying, and the Lord spoke to her and said, I'm healing him. Not, I was healed, and I understood that when she said that. I mean, it's weird that I even understood that. I was only 12 years old because I had him for 3 years, you know. And when she said that to me, she said, if I know the voice of the Lord, God said, I'm healing him. Not he's healed, I'm healing him. And I understood it was a process. And what he really did with that is he taught me how to walk out of that by faith, you know. And you know, God, there's no certain formula. You know, everybody, sometimes when I hear people say, well, I'm going to give you the 9 steps for this, or 16 steps, or whatever it is. And I'm not knocking that. I mean, you know, maybe God told him to say that. But he can do anything, any way, in any situation, the way he wants to do it. We can't put him in a box and say, well, God, you have to do it this certain way, because that's the way it happened to somebody else. He can deal with you. I remember when Shelby's son, Tommy, came in one Sunday, and he was coming to the Sunday school classes back then. And he says, I want to share like a dream I had. And you know, I was teaching Sunday school, and I said, well, go ahead. And he said, I had this dream, and he said, and in this dream, it was like there was a statue, and he said, this statue was like, it was a statue, like a statue of Jesus, and he said, and then all of a sudden, the statue came alive, and came over, and I can't remember exactly what the rest of it was, but like it came over and touched him, or ministered to him, or whatever, and he says, I don't understand that. Well, the minute he would start talking about it, the Lord was like, in my head, you know, he was telling me, giving me an interpretation of it. And I said, well, brother, I said, I'm going to tell you what I feel like the interpretation of that is. I said, when you saw that statue, that was a religious thing. I said, people worship statues and they worship things that are not alive. Mm-hmm. And I said, and I feel like what the Lord was saying, he was saying, I'm going to come alive in your life. And for a while, he was coming to church real regular and stuff. Then he had some conflicts with the family and stuff. And the next thing you know, he dropped off again. And you know, the neat thing about it is, God's word never returns void. And for a while, God made himself real to that young man. And I don't know where he's at today or what's happening with him today. I don't know. I don't know if he's even still alive. He might not even still be alive. But I haven't seen him for years. But I can tell you this, God's word never returns void, and whatever he does it well. And he knows whether you're going to continue to walk with him or not walk with him or whatever. But he promised he'd never leave you nor forsake you. But we can sometimes leave him and forsake him, and I'm not saying Tommy did, because I don't know. I haven't seen him in years.
He was at Lois Pike's funeral.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, praise God. I think we better... close in a short word of prayer.
Short. Thank you, Lord, for this day, for it truly is your day. So, Father, we reverence this time in your presence. So be glorified, give us ears to hear what the Spirit says. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.